want to thank you for your presence today. We hope that some things that we will say will be of an encouragement to you and also a help as we go through this life. In the last few weeks, I have been trying to the best of my ability, to try to understand that man, as he lives upon this earth, is never equipped for many things that he has to deal with in this life. God knew that in his infinite wisdom, that there were things that man needed to prepare himself for as he traveled down life's road. And so I want to talk today about what's down the road. All of us are on a path. All of us are going down a road. What we need to consider is, what road are we going down, and what is at the end of that road? Are you following Jesus? Are you following his teachings? If you are, I pray that you will continue to do that. And I hope that your labor, and I know that your labor will not be in vain. But if you are not, I pray that you would reconsider and reevaluate the path that you are walking and the road that you are taking, because it is a treacherous road. It is a dangerous road. There are pitfalls along the way. And God tries to warn you about some of those, that you might not fall prey to them, and that you might be able to overcome them when they come your way. And so we want to examine the road that we are going down. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There are many times in our understanding, in our reasoning, we can travel down a particular road. We can take a particular path, and we think it's the right path. It looks like the right path, feels like the right path, and it seems to be the right thing to do. But it could be the way of death if it's not in accordance with God's holy and divine will. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. You see, it takes wisdom to understand that there are difficulties. There are treacherous pitfalls to avoid. And we need to do our best, our dead level best, to avoid those things to the best of our ability. You see, man has limited human vision. We sometimes can't see beyond the nose on our face. We have limited vision. We don't know what the future holds. You have plans for tomorrow. You may have plans for this afternoon. You know, do not know, nor do I know, that you or I will live to see those plans come to fruition. We have limited human vision. We cannot take things for granted. We need to understand that every day is a blessing given to us by God. The need for direction and instruction when traveling to a place has never been greater than it is today. When you begin on a trip, and you're going from point A to point B, and it's a lengthy trip, do you just look at the map once and then forget about it until you arrive at your destination? No. You continually make sure that you're going on the right path and you're taking the right road, so you don't lose your way and you don't get off course and end up traveling further away from where you're going than to where you're going. You want to make sure you evaluate and make sure you're staying on the correct map. The same is true about your life. You know, sometimes the only time we do reflections on our life is on New Year's Eve or on New Year's Day, when we make New Year's resolutions, or we look back and reflect about the past year. But I want to suggest to you that you need to do that more often. You need to always look at where you're at, where you're going, how you got there, and what you need to do in order to make sure that you stay on the right path. It is not within man's ability to direct your own steps. You know what Jeremiah said? The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his own steps. God never intended any of us, not you, not me, not any of us, to walk this path of life alone. He knew that we needed direction. He knew that we would need help. He knew that we would need instruction, because he knew the way was treacherous. He understood the obstacles. He understood the stumbling blocks. He understood the things that Satan would place in our way in order to distract us, to discourage us, and ultimately to destroy us. And so he's given, in his infinite wisdom, instructions to help us to be able to overcome that. None of us know what is around the corner, what's around the next curve. The Bible teaches us in a very simple passage in James chapter 4, in verse 13, beginning in verse 13. It says, but rejoice to the extent, excuse me, I'm in Peter. I knew that didn't look right. Come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year, buy, sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Ladies and gentlemen, your life can turn upside down in a flip of a switch. What you thought, what you planned, what you intended, didn't happen the way you thought it would. And all of a sudden, somebody throws a ring and an obstacle in the road. The plans and preparations that you've made for this time are going to be important for you to move beyond the obstacle. We don't know when it will come, but I want you to know that it will come. You are going to be faced against life at some point. It's going to happen in your life. It may be happening to other people, but one day it's going to happen to you. And if you don't prepare now, you're going to struggle when that time and when that situation presents itself. How do you prepare? Well, I'm going to try to help you with God's help to prepare for that time. There are but two ways that you can take in life, and they have two different ending points. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus made it as clear and as simple as I can make it. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in thereby. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there be few who find it. In Jeremiah's time, the Israelites were taking the path to apostasy. They were traveling down a road that was going to lead them to their destruction. And he said, you need to ask for the old path, to stand in the good way. But Israel said, we will not walk in it. They made a determination they were going to walk their own path. They were going to go in their own way. Well, it didn't work out very good, because it ended up that they were destroyed. They were placed in captivity. But God warned them. In John 14, verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to get through life. You're not going to get through this trials. You're not going to get through adversity if you don't have the Lord on your side. You will not win. You will suffer. You will struggle. And you will lose ground. You cannot live this life without the help of God. God is your refuge. If you read the Psalms over and over again, one of the things that the psalmist David writes over and over and over again is that God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my stronghold. We need to learn that lesson now for when we need it. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 8 and 9, it says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The Lord himself learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And he is the author of eternal salvation to all of those who obey him. Any and every way leads to eternal death. No matter which one of these roads you're on, it's going to end in death. We're all going to die. We're all going to cease to exist in this life. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed to the man what to die, and after this comes the judgment. In Matthew 15, verse 7 and 9, he talked about those who worshiped God in vain because they were offering vain worship. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, the Bible says that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I want you to listen to something very carefully. This life is hard enough without us making it any more difficult than it has to be. You can make your road more difficult if you try to do it alone. You will make it harder. You'll make it more stressful. You'll make it more anguished. You make it more painful. God does not want you to do that because it's not in your best interest. It's not in the best interest of people who love you, people who care about you, people who will also suffer when you suffer because they love you. We need to give God a hand. We need to let God help us map this thing through life, so we can get through it. God didn't put us here to fail. He didn't put us here to struggle. He put us here to be successful. But you can't do that unless you take his advice. The road we choose will have both temporal and eternal consequences. There are in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, the Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other name. No other name under heaven is given among men whereby we must be saved. In Ezekiel 18, it says, a soul that sinneth, it shall die. We need to understand that our soul will die spiritually if we sin. If we sin, we're going to be separated from God. But the good news is, God has given us a remedy that we can overcome our sin. It can only be a temporary consequence if we apply the blood of Christ and if we learn from our mistakes and we strengthen ourselves not to do them again. And so there are going to be temporal consequences. When you choose to go against God, there are things that are going to happen. They're going to be natural things. They're part of natural law. But God has given us a remedy that we can escape the more worse consequences. And that's the eternal consequences. The eternal consequences are the worst. Those are the ones that you want to avoid. And God's Son is the only one that can help you avoid the eternal consequences of our mistakes. And that is because of the blood that his Son shed on Calvary. He is getting us. You see, the amount of temporal consequences, the eternal consequences all are dependent on which road you are traveling. If you're traveling the broad and wide way, you're going to have more problem. You're going to have more difficulty. You're going to have more situations in your life that could derail you and destroy you. Not just here, but eternally. But if you travel down the straight and narrow path, you're still going to have pitfalls. You're still going to have times that you're going to have obstacles and stumbling blocks and things that you're going to have to overcome. But with God's help, you'll deal with them. You'll get over them. And you'll move forward and you won't regress. But you see, it depends on which of these roads you choose. God can't choose this for you. He can't choose it for me. We choose which one of these roads that we want to travel down. Place your hope and confidence in God. Why? Why should you place your confidence in God? Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm not going to read all of these passages. You can see them there on the screen. But all of them teach the same principle. And so in verse 17 and 18 it says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise of his immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope to the hope that is set before us. Brethren, you and I can have full, unwavering trust and confidence in God that when we hurt, when we have been touched by pain and tragedy, that God cares. He is there. He loves you. He will see you through it. You will get better. You will overcome it in time. It won't be easy. It will not be without pain. But you will see a brighter day. You can't see it now. But you will. If you trust God. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've had some dark times in my life. Things that I didn't know what to do, where to turn, what to do next, how I was going to recover. But I remember that I prayed. I prayed for God's strength. I prayed for God's wisdom to help me not doubt him, to help me trust him, to help me put my faith in him, and to help him help me help myself. He answered my prayer. He gave me what I needed. He helped me over the hump. He helped me see a better day. Man, he wants a quick solution. He wants a quick fix. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes there is not one. We have to accept that. And we have to trust God. But when you're with God, you're in the best possible place you can be. You know that old Allstate commercial? You're in good hands with Allstate. When you're in the hands of God, there is no better security that this world can offer you. That's where your security's at. That's where your hope and trust has got to be at, with God. He's the only one. When life gets tough, when it gets burdensome, when it's hurting, he's the only one you can count on. He's the one that will always be there. Your own understanding will not lead you to peace and to life and to happiness. Why? Because it's not able to. Because one thing you and I don't have, we don't have the meaning. We don't know why. We don't know why the struggle, why the difficulty, why now, why under this circumstance, why did it happen? We don't know the answer to that. And if you keep your mind wondering about that, you will never be able to move to the next stage. You have to understand God didn't tell us, He gave us all the answers. There's a song that we sing in the book. There's a special verse in it that is very comforting to me. It says this: farther along, we will understand why. Farther along, we will understand all about it. I want to get to farther along. But to get to farther along, you're going to have to withstand some things. And you and I, there are things that happen in life we will never understand. In Romans 12, in verse number 16, Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one towards another. Do not set your mind on high things. Do not associate with the humble, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this as simply as I can. You and I don't have all the answers. God never intended us to. But there is one person who does. He has all the answers because He knows all the questions. He knows all the solutions. And that person is God. And He's the one that our faith and our trust and our strength should be in. Because He is the only one that's in that position. God's ways are far above our ways. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, is one of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. Because it reminds me in a very clear and concise way that God is not like me. In Isaiah 55, in verse 8, it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes forth and brings forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word will be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It will accomplish the thing what I please, and it will prosper in the things that I sent it to do." I want you to think about that for a minute. My word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. Let me give you a few things to think about. Cast your care upon me, for I careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Can problems, can tribulation, can heartache, can life's adversity, can sickness? None of it has the ability to separate you from the love of God unless you allow it to do so. You see, brethren, this is where we need to put our mind. God knows how to overcome adversity. God knows how to deal with life problems. He knows what the best solution is. He knows what the best strategy is. He knows what the best remedy is. And we have to trust Him because of two things: His infinite wisdom, His infinite power, and his infinite love for us. We have to trust him. He doesn't think like me, he doesn't reason like me, and he is not like me. And I'm glad for that, because he's far superior in every way. Therefore, we should always focus on God and his will in every aspect of our life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what Satan will put in your way. I don't know what adversity you'll deal with, what tribulation may come in your life. But this one thing I know, that God will not let it destroy you if you will let him help you. He promised that. He promises, and God does not say things that he is not able to accomplish. We need to put God in our corner. God's way is the way of blessedness. In Proverbs chapter 3, if you care to read that this afternoon, in verse 1 through 12, it gives some qualities. And in this it says loyalty in the first two verses. It says love and integrity, faith in verse 5 and 6, humility in verse 7 and 8, selflessness in verse 9 and 10, verse 11 and 12, meekness. And then there's blessings when we put these qualities to work in our life. It will bring us true happiness. It will bring us true wealth that cannot be taken away. It will lengthen our days on the earth. It will bring pleasantness into our lives. And it will give us peace that passes all understanding. And it will mean that we will gain life in the end. You see, there are things that there is character that we can develop. Character that we grow into, we mature into. And these qualities will bring these things into our life if we will allow them to. God's way, you know, when you go through the Beatitudes, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, so he shall be filled. Blessed are those that mourn, so they will be comforted. God tells us how to overcome, how to develop these qualities of loyalty and faith and integrity and humility and selflessness and meekness. And when we add these things to our faith and we put on these things, it will help us when life's difficulties come our way. And then we can have true happiness. We can see the wealth in doing things God's way. And we can see our days lengthen because we don't short-circuit it by hurting ourselves, by not letting God help us. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep some wisdom and discretion. They will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. God will see you through to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever darkness you feel that you're in, there is light at the end of the proverbial tunnel. If you will open your eyes by faith, and you will see it. God will not allow you to fail if you'll let him lead you through the darkness. He'll lead you to the light. He promised that. Sometimes it's pretty dark. Sometimes the light is far away to see. But the light is there. The end of the tunnel is there. You'll get there. Now, you won't get there as quick as maybe you want to get there, but you'll get there. God won't let you down. But you're going to have to travel to the light. And to get to the light, you got to go through the darkness. Now ask me why. God says it builds character. God says it makes us stronger. God said it makes us more dependent upon Him. Do you believe God? Do you trust Him? What evidence would you give not to trust Him? What example would you pull up that He's never done what He said He would do? It'll go, it'll work. Ladies and gentlemen, it works. I'm living proof that it works. It works. But you got to trust Him. You got to let Him work with you. You got to let Him lead you through the darkness to the light. We may face more difficult challenges than my generation faced. Lay the foundation of your life and build upon God's Word and use it as your guide. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps. Put God first, above your career, above your friends, above your activities, above your family. Put God first. And when you put God first, nothing in this life can ever be drawn in to be a challenge or an obstacle or a rival to God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You need to learn to put God first now. So when you come up against life, the first thing your mind will turn to, the first answer and solution you will seek will not be you. It will be God. He'll be the first thing you think about, the first thing you'll turn to. And you know what? That's the best thing you or I could do. Because He can help us like no one else. Lay the foundation of your marriage upon God's Word and build upon it, using it, God's Word as your guide. In Genesis chapter 2, He gave marriage as a benefit to both men and women. In Matthew 5 and in Matthew 19, He made it a lifelong commitment. The only thing that is to separate man and woman is death or adultery. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, He commands us as husbands that we are to love our wives and that we are to live with them with understanding. In Ephesians 5, it gives us responsibilities as wives and as husbands in how we treat one another, how we cherish one another, how we handle the roles that God has given us. And when we, you know what, people don't stay married 50, 60, 70 years, 40 years. They don't do that by accident. They do that because they love each other, because they work together, because they go through life struggles, and God intended it to be that way. When you have God in your marriage, it'll make your marriage stronger. Put your spouse above career, above your friends, activities, and families. Remember your vows. Remember what you said when you stood before the preacher, some of us, it was a long time ago. Me, it was over 34 years, almost 34 years ago. But I made some promises to Rita. I made some promises to God, but I remember what I said. I remember the promises I made. And as long as God lets me breathe, I'm going to fulfill that vow that I promised to her and promised to God. And you know what, brethren? Don't ever, ever take this relationship for granted. I don't know how many people I've had the unfortunate position to be in who came to me crying, told me I never fully understood how important that person was until I didn't have them. Don't make that mistake. Problems will come. Job loss, it might happen. Financial problems, guaranteed in our day and age. Sickness, it'll happen. Aging, it happens. Changes in our appearance, it's going to happen. I hear it's getting thinner every day. Every time I'm around my kids, I say, hey, Dad, what happened to your hair? I said, boy, you're one of the reasons it's getting so short. But you know what? That's just part of life. The way we feel towards our spouse, that shouldn't change. That should just get better. Arguments, disagreements, we're going to have them. You're going to have disagreements. You know why? Because you're two different human beings. You were brought up in two different ways. You have two different personalities. There's going to be things that have to be ironed out. There's going to have to be things that have to be going to have to be dealt with. You're going to have to talk about it. You're going to have to get over it. But you know what? You know what? You overcome it. You'll get through it. And you look back and you laugh at it. If you realize how valuable the relationship is. Remember this? The commitment and love you have towards your spouse is not dependent on your spouse. Let me say that again. The love that I have for Rita is not dependent upon Rita. It's dependent upon me. I made that love. I made that promise. She made the same promise to me. And one of the things that both of us in our marriage have tried to do, we've tried to help each other get to heaven. Because that's where we both want to go. We want to both get to heaven. And if you both want to get to heaven, then you're going to work out your problems. You're going to work out your difficulty. You're not going to trivialize over the little things and let them derail you. You're going to realize what's really important. And you know what? I'll just speak for Keith. It took me a long time to figure it out. And maybe Rita, maybe I haven't figured it out, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to work on it. I know what's important. And I know what God gave me. One of the things that God gave us to help us is in marriage, He gave us each other to help us. You know that proverb that says there's more strength in two than one? There's a lot of wisdom in that. And so we need to be committed, fully committed. It's kind of like what Mel said this morning in class. When you're in marriage, it's just like your life with the Lord. You need to be fully committed. You know this thing, 50-50 in marriage? That's nonsense. It's 100-100 on both sides. Both people have got to be fully committed to the relationship, or it won't work. There's got to be a full commitment on both ends. And you know what? It's the same way with our relationship with God. Do you think God is fully committed to us? Do you have any reservation in your mind that God is not fully committed to us to help us in every way He can get through this life? Do you have any doubt that He won't do that? Now let me ask you a question. Could He say the same thing about us? Do we have that kind of commitment to Him? Think about that. We expect it for us. But do we have it for Him? With our children. Our society today is full of children who receive little or no guidance from their parents. The importance of teaching them God's Word in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read the chapter. Talks about when they get up, when they go to bed, as they walk through life, when they lie down. You continually enforce enforce and demonstrate and teach God's word. You demonstrate the principles. You live them. You guide them. You help them. Because you know the day's coming when they're going to go out on their own. They're going to make their own home. They're going to make their own life. They're going to have their own husband and wife. They're going to have their own marriages. And a lot of what they do and how successful they're going to be is the foundation that you and I laid when they were in our care. Where do our children learn most about marriage? About duties of marriage? About commitment? From reading the Bible? Yeah, they can get it there. But where did they get their most training? By watching mom and dad. By watching mom and dad. That's where they learn most about what marriage is about, what human relationships are about. The importance of teaching them God's word cannot be underestimated. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says there's a generation that grew up that did not know God. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? This life's a tough place to live, but if you don't teach the godly principles that are contained in the Bible, you give a child a very difficult road to hoe when they get out in the world if they don't have a godly foundation to build upon. Because I guarantee you the world does not care one lick about what's troubling them, what ails them, what can help them. They do not care, and the devil doesn't care. And if you don't set the proper foundation in their life, you make the road of life very much more difficult for them. You know what? God gave me the children as a blessing. But with that blessing, he gave me great and awesome responsibility. You remember what Hannah said when she didn't have a child? God, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you all the day of his life. You know what? Hannah's not the only one that has that responsibility. God gave us our children in order for us to give them back to God. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. Discipline, teaching and training, correcting them. You know, I heard my parents, my dad. You know, I really don't want to, I don't want to spank you, but what did I tell you? I told you not to do this. Didn't I tell you what would happen if you didn't do what I told you? Yeah, Dad, you did. And I'm disciplining you because I love you. This hurts me more than it does you. When I was a child, I said, yeah. Let's see if it hurts you as much as it does me. But you know what? The first time I had to take something away from my children, the first time I had to punish my child, the first time I had to tell my child no, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Now I know what he meant. But you know what? I'm glad my parents love me enough to discipline me. I'm glad them that they taught me that, because that's what I did to my children. And you know why? Because I love them. Every Father's Day, I hear from my children. I did something right. I was hard because I had to be. But I was hard because that's what God taught me to do. Because life's hard. And they need discipline. They need guidance. It's not easy. You know what? Sometimes today the advice is we need to be our friend. No, you don't need to be a friend to your children. You need to be their parent. You need to be their mother and their father. Friendship, that will come. When you carry out your duty as a husband, as a wife, as a mother and father, friendship will take care of itself. But you first must be what God put you there to be, and that's their parent. And the rest will take care of itself. Parents have a lot to do with the direction that your children choose in this life. What about for the church? for the Church of Christ? Did he ridicule it? Is it persecuted? Is it just in heaven? Is it shrinking? Is it growing? Is there death? Is there vibrancy? Is there apostasy, or is there faithfulness? It depends on the faithfulness of God's members. Every church is only as strong as its weakest member. And every church is going to take on the makeup of the people who make it up. We need to remember that God gave us responsibility to the church. We're a part. We are that responsibility. He didn't give that to the world. He gave that to us. And we must carry out that responsibility to the best of our ability. We must seek to do God's will. You remember that passage I read a few moments ago in Matthew 6? Seek the kingdom of God first. You know, how many times have you told, I've told you since I've been here, that I worry about the church 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years down the road. I worry about that. I struggle about that, and I try to keep that in focus in everything I do today in order to keep it in a position that the church might always be vibrant and alive here in Harrisburg, in Kentucky. But I'll tell you, I can't do it by myself. It takes all of us working together to get it done. And this world's going to do everything that it can to defeat us, to destroy God's people, and it's not going to stop. We've got to fight, and we've got to hold on, and we've got to use God to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's down the road for you in life. I don't even know what's down the road for me in life. But here's one thing I do know. Somewhere, sometime, life is going to be going around. Life is going to be going along. Things are going to be seen to be normal. We're going through our everyday activities. And all of a sudden, something happens that throws everything to the wind. And every plan and every intention and everything you thought was right all of a sudden becomes very wrong and becomes very dark and becomes very difficult. And it happens in an instant. And your life is turned upside down. That's going to happen. To some of you, it's already happened. I have compassion. I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. But here's the good news. When that time comes, and when that event happens, and when that tragedy hits, two things you need to remember. Number one, God loves you. God cares about you. And God is touched by your pain and your grief. The second thing you need to remember, God does not want that tragedy, that difficulty, to define who you are and what you are. He wants you to remember two things. Number one, you belong to Him. You're His child. You wear His name. And He's made some promises to you, and He fully intends to keep them. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be there. You can turn to Him. You can talk to Him. You can get comfort from Him. You can bear under the burden. It won't lessen the tears. It won't take away the void. It won't steal the pain right away. But what it will do, and what it will always do, it will give you real, real hope for the future. That one day, in one place, in one time, you will be better. You will get to the light. You will get to the proverbial end of the tunnel. You will be able to look back without pain, without regret, without anguish and tears. That will happen. But what I cannot tell you, and what nobody can tell you, is how long that trip will be. But this is one advice I would give you. Do not make this trip any longer and harder than it has to be. Two things. Do not worry about the things you cannot control. Leave them alone. Do not try to rewrite the past. It cannot be done. Do not beat yourself over of what you could have done, what you should have done, and what you could have done. Because it's ancient history, it cannot be changed. Do not focus. Listen. This is especially to some of you that I know are hurting. Do not think about what you're missing. Remember what you have and the blessings that those times brought in your life. Focus on what you have, not on what is gone. Because what is gone cannot be redone. But what you had, nobody can take away from you. And it will help you get to the light. Ladies and gentlemen, what road are you walking down? Are you walking with the Lord, or are you trying to do it by yourself? God's way is the best way. God's way is the only way that will work. God's way is the way that will do it with less pain, less anguish, less hardship, less tears. God's way is better. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to be one. If you are one and you're struggling and you're having difficulty, God understands it. God loves you. He cares for you. Open your heart. Open your mind. Talk to Him. Lean on Him. Let Him help you. He will. He'll guide you through it because He wants you to win at life. And you know why? Because He wants you to be with Him in heaven someday. And to get to heaven someday, we first have to get through this thing called life. We will, with God's help, if we travel the road that He's prepared for us. If we can help you, we bid you to come forward. As together we stand.